The long liturgy continued, the deep bass perhaps not quite as mellowly profound as Vladimir Miller, but nevertheless beginning its journey in the earth and lifting upwards through the body like an invincible sustenance. Her opened hand gently on Quentin's shoulder, Claire had her eyes shut. I knew she was seeing the lotus, other epiphanies. Corbin's eyes were shut too, but not sleeping. Mine were open. Smid's were open. After a while, he summoned Quentin by inclining his head and turning sharply. She followed him out at once, her new heavy Christmas necklace of malachite and diamonds seeming part of the immense luxury in the church. Outside in the immense cold, the immense beauty, Claire touched the malachite beads I'd given her for Australian Christmas. They weren't as dark and pure as Quentin's, but they were variegated and patterned like cut wood, and their green shone in many-hued layers. They weren't a warm stone particularly, but any stone was warmer than this night. Claire said, "We have to take Quentin home soon." I thought about it, but first other things will have to happen. Then we'll make them happen. We held hands across the bridge on starry ice water. Back at the apartment, the vodka, grim information on the hacking of the Finnish hacking conference, and the evening's general icy-cold atmospheric burden had slowed the adults into isolate reverie. But Florence dragged us at once into her room to phone Australia, where Ruth obliged with the rest of her ghost story. She said, "Well, I managed to get a fair amount of smoke into Tiffany's yard without anyone calling the fireys, and I could just see the little ghost at the far end standing next to the swing set. Then it was really strange because it was as if a red dust cloud had just swept in from the northwest, the sort that when it happens the birds get confused and fly into houses because they navigate from the sun. The little girl suddenly flew past me into the back room of Tiff's house, brushing my shoulder. It was hard to know what was going on, what with the smoke and the dust, but then the ghost wasn't there anymore. Just a grey female blackbird sitting looking confused on Tiff's wardrobe. I flapped it out the window with a tea towel. Florence asked, and did the ghost come back? Well, yes. When Tiffany got Charlotte back from being kidnapped by Mr. Smith, Charlotte looked a lot older. She'd been crying a lot and had lost her baby fat. When I was standing on the back step and I saw her near the swing playing with the chihuahua, I realised that she had been the little ghost." Claire said, "Yes, ghosts are just from out of time, aren't they? It can be the future as well as the past." We wished Ruth a happy Russian Christmas. Florence was excited by the story's ending. She asked me courteously to include me. Was I still looking that old? "Do you think all ghosts really just want to come home?" Claire's face still had meditative sadness, her head tranquil but tilted as if floating on my shoulder like a lotus on the river.